This episode is sponsored by Day by Day Book, a guided journal that helps you navigate the ups and downs of change while creating a life you love. For more information on the classic recovery or teen day book, go to livedaybyday.com. When I think back on the moment I decided I'd had enough, there was no clap of thunder or sign from above that I needed to stop. It was just a relentless and persistent voice that kept taking me by the shoulders and begging me to pay attention, until I finally did. Welcome to Journeys Through Change, a podcast that inspires women to let go of the fear and say yes to possibility. I'm your host, Noelle Vann, an author, creator, and empowerment coach who spent years in corporate America helping innovators and leaders ride the waves of change with ease and grace. I now work with women to step into change and unleash the power they have to create a life they love. Whether you're contemplating a change in your career, relationship, health, lifestyle, or anything in between, nothing's off the table. I'll be offering up simple insights to help you manage the ups and downs of change and sharing interviews with successful women who took a leap of faith to create the life they knew they were meant to live, sharing their wisdom, advice, and all the juicy lessons they learned along the way. So get cozy in your favorite comfy chair and let's get started. Monumental change is typically born from something simple, an inkling, an urge, or a feeling that something's not quite right and needs our attention. From these places comes the courage to take that first step towards something that can be truly transformational. I wanted to dedicate this episode specifically to those of you who may have heard that faint little whisper that I heard myself many years ago, telling you that your drinking is getting in the way. Whether you're contemplating sobriety due to addiction or simply as a way of living a healthier lifestyle, the voices that you hear are there for a reason. Now, I thought I would share a bit more of my path to sobriety with you to give you an example of how addiction played out for me, so you can see how it presents itself and help you become more aware of the signs to look out for if it's showing up in your life. So to start, I want to read you something I wrote several years ago about a pivotal day I had in San Francisco in my late 20s, something I call the beginning of my courtship. My studio apartment was in an old Victorian building on the crest of Franklin Street overlooking the San Francisco Bay. As I walked up the hill, I was passed by a flurry of joggers and dog walkers making their way back home before sunset, after a day of activity along the waterfront. This was my first week in my own apartment, and this neighborhood felt dreamy to me. Pacific Heights was the perfect spot to start my new adventure living on my own in the big city. The squeaky old gate rolled to a close past the elevator door as I made my way down the brightly lit hallway. I turned the key and walked into the kitchen. Unloading my groceries, I pulled out a cold bottle of white wine and set it on the counter. For a split second, I thought to myself, how did this get here? Oh, wait, I remember. I had picked it up along with the loaf of French bread and the wedge of brie that nice man behind the counter at the market had persuaded me to buy. It seemed like the perfect pairing. I mean, I had just splurged on my own grown-up selection of housewarming nibbles, and without a nice glass of wine to go along with it, what's the point, right? I giggled to myself, and then, as if in slow motion, I popped the cork and started pouring. I took a long pause and thought nothing of it for a moment. Then out of nowhere, I heard a voice inside my head whisper, "What are you doing?" Now, having grown up with alcohol addiction in my family, I was well aware of the signs of problem drinking and remember making a note to myself that this was the first time I was actually drinking alone. As strange as it sounds, I knew in that moment that something was about to change. I was shifting my relationship with alcohol at that very moment. Now, this decision had a weight that would take years for me to fully understand. It was actually the seeds to the beginning of an 8-year progression in addiction. That moment stands still in my memory because it was the first premonition I had that I was about to cross a line into a very different level of drinking. Now, I've had many turning points in my life, moments that hit me with certainty that something good was about to happen or someone significant had just entered the room. But this was without a doubt a clear and profound feeling that I will never forget. That day marked the beginning of my slow and steady courtship with alcohol that would lead me down a subtle path of self-destruction and eventually take me to my limit. In the years to follow, I would hear that voice with greater frequency until eventually it became impossible to ignore. Every morning, as I stared into the bathroom mirror, becoming less and less familiar with the face that was looking back at me, I would hear, "This has got to stop." Out with friends, carefully pacing myself, wishing I was back home where I could properly unwind and drink in privacy without any limits, I would hear, "This has got to stop." At every turn, it continued to get louder and louder and with greater conviction. After many years to follow of failed attempts and feelings of shame and self-doubt, I finally found my footing and accepted the reality that I needed to get sober. When I think back on the moment I decided I'd had enough, there was no clap of thunder or sign from above that I needed to stop. It was just a relentless and persistent voice that kept taking me by the shoulders and begging me to pay attention. Until I finally did. Now, I've recognized many truths in my life, but only one with such a significant force that it continues to guide me in everything I do. So how did I get there? I used to call the time I left the office to the time I popped the cork my hour of intensity. All the pent-up anxiety of the day would rattle around in my head on my drive home. And by the time I entered my parking garage, my pace would quicken as I'd make my way in the door, drop my bag, open the fridge, and pour that first glorious glass of relief. It was my secret escape from the stress of work and just life in general. It was not until my early 30s that my attachment to achievement began to waver. Up to that point, I'd been a solid participant, working my way up the corporate ladder, checking off all the boxes. What began to chip away at my resolve actually had nothing to do with the work at all. Once my addiction to alcohol took hold, which by the way, was after many years of believing my consumption was totally normal and within my control, all bets were off and my priorities simply shifted. The reality of what was going on in my work life, which was admittedly very intense, was compounded by the gradual decline of my emotional and physical health. The more I drank, the more depressed I became, and the more depressed I became, the more I drank, leaving my interpretation of actual events circumspect at best. My perception was so skewed, and after several years, I started to rewrite the story altogether. I began to look at my life in black and white. The nuance of any situation was lost on me. Insecurity set in all areas of my life. I was starting to live in the irrational reality of an alcoholic mind. With this behavior came a series of slyly crafted lies to throw anyone with a remote suspicion off the scent that anything was out of the ordinary. For all intents and purposes, I was doing fine. I had a growing career, budding social life, living in a cosmopolitan city. It was a dream by anyone's standards. As my career continued to take off, the lies just became more and more complex. I started to avoid work events or going out with friends for fear I would drink too much, then someone would call me out. In my mind, my private unraveling was better suited behind closed doors. My rationale was that it kept me home and in a safe place, but in reality, I wanted to drink alone so that no one could see me come undone. Now, the crazy thing about addiction is that it can make us feel so in control until, in what feels like an instant, the unraveling has already happened. So what are the signs to look out for? To be honest, the signs can be so gradual. They may have started with a growing need to have a drink or a few glasses of wine after work, or at the end of the day to take the edge off. Or the twinge of embarrassment you felt waking up one too many mornings after an extended happy hour or dinner party, not remembering exactly what was said or done the night before. It could be the shame you feel trying to muffle the sound of the clanking bottles hitting the trash bin so your neighbors won't hear, or simply a lack of enthusiasm about getting through a social situation without a drink in hand. Whatever it is, for most of us who have heard that little whisper, our circumstances gradually bring us to a place of deeper questioning. For some, you may have noticed a difference in how you feel after a night of drinking and are wondering whether or not this behavior is really working anymore. Although you're uncertain about next steps, you find yourself feeling more open to suggestions and curious about how things could be different. Now, what's important to notice is that this internal inquiry is an actual turning point. Whether you've been looking for a quick and easy escape from the intensity of a workday, dealing with the stress of a complicated relationship, or simply feeling the need for a respite from your daily ups and downs, you're slowly realizing that the temporary relief you're seeking to cope with these challenges is not a long-term solution. You start to see a subtle glimpse of hope that presents itself here and there and begin to develop a slow and gradual willingness to question whether or not it's actually working for you. Now, I say this because I spent many years struggling to find a way to quiet the voices and continue drinking. The what-ifs around putting an end to my drinking when it was the only thing I could rely on to push me through the hard times felt nothing short of daunting. I didn't think I'd ever be strong enough to let go. My life as I thought it to be, as someone who was honest and well-intended, level-headed and smart, was immediately assaulted by the reality that I had a big, big problem. My life had gotten out of control. I was also consumed with the fear of what others might think or say about me. as if taking care of myself was secondary to keeping up appearances. Sounds ridiculous to say now, but for many years, I let that worry actually take priority over my own life. I've come a long way since then, but it took time and perspective to overcome it. The reality is when we get really honest with ourselves, that's when the good stuff starts to happen. Admitting to having a problem with any kind of substance or food or relationship or whatever is the first step in getting more acquainted with the truth. And the truth is, addictive behaviors come in many forms and are a part of all of our lives on one level or another. If you think about it, who can say you've never felt cravings for sugar or coffee or bread? How about that wine o'clock ritual that gradually turned into two or three glasses a night to relax or unwind? Kind of what we've been talking about. Maybe it's the constant attention from a loved one or the need for acceptance from friends or even strangers that's become an unexpected obsession. Whatever it is, the imbalance it causes, both physically and mentally, has a profound effect on your health and mental well-being. Now, in the short term, these little habits may not feel like anything. In fact, for some, they feel like a way of thinking we've always had or a behavior that's merely a well-deserved reward. Although we may keep these seemingly benign habits hidden for years, their intensity can grow the more we continue to avoid them. So this brings to mind a few questions. At what point does a fancy become an obsession? A propensity become a problem? A habit become an addiction? It's really up to us to make that determination and take action to address it if it's getting in the way of our health or happiness. By the way, for those of you who would like some questions to ask yourself to determine if your drinking is problematic, I'll be including those in the show notes as well. So in closing, I just want to say, we all have stories of a time when our intuition stepped in and guided us in a certain direction. In that moment, it's up to us to either trust in the message or override it. For some, we hear a voice. For others, it could reveal itself in a chance encounter, a conversation, or a subtle sign that something's off balance. This is our intuition tapping us on the shoulder and asking us to pay attention. And that's often when it's time to listen. After all, the most direct path to transformation is accepting our vulnerabilities and making the difficult changes necessary to push us forward and be the best that we can be. So continue to listen to what you have to tell yourself, even in those moments when what you have to say may feel really difficult to hear. That's it for now. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Journeys Through Change podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or really wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us and leave a review if you've enjoyed this episode. And share it with a friend or on social media to spread the good word, so more women like you can find us and join in on the fun. For more information on the podcast or Day by Day book, go to livedaybyday.com.